In the summer of 1934, Papa made my first musical instrument, a little five-string fretless banjo, and he played me a tune on it.
While Doc Watson's father built his first instrument, guitar maker Wayne Henderson built his last. Henderson is a renowned luthier who lives just north of Doc's place in Deep Gap. The two have been friends for almost 50 years.
I think the first time that I can remember meeting Doc Watson, I was in Gerald Little's music store in Boone, North Carolina, sometime back in the 60s. And I knew who Doc was because I'd gotten some of his records and was amazed that he's playing, and instantly was somebody who became a hero of mine. And I was sitting in that store playing a tune that I've always played, and just sitting there picking, and I noticed this voice came in behind me, started singing it. And I looked around, and it was Doc Watson in person, standing there singing that song with me while I was playing. I almost dropped my guitar.
Along about 1825, I left Tennessee very much alive. And I never would have got through the Arkansas mud if I hadn't been a-riding that Tennessee stud.
Doc Watson is in the back of the head of many American guitar players. His sound is iconic and set the standard for acoustic players that wanted to take traditional music one step further. Barry Potts is the founder of Sugar Hill Records.
Each note is like a pearl. I mean, gorgeous and fully formed. And then you add to that his impeccable taste in what he chooses to play, and then the perfect timing in playing it.
Guitarist Wayne Henderson sat knee to knee with Doc Watson for decades and says he's still trying to figure out that sound.
He had such tasteful licks, you know. They were plenty hot and fancy enough, but maybe not quite as much as some of the modern players are, but still never nothing better. But there's just so much soul and attention to melody that stood him out from everybody else.
Henderson is proud to have built the guitar Doc played in the last few years of his life. The instrument was the result of dozens of visits Doc made to Henderson's shop over the years. The two of them would sit around and talk and play music like neighbors do. The weather, family, music, work, and stories from childhood always came up.
He cut sawed wood, and he said that's something he always really appreciated his dad for doing, is putting him on the end of a crosscut saw instead of making him sit over in the corner being a blind kid, you know, not do something. He said his dad put him to work.
Doc Watson lost his sight before his first birthday. He grew up one of nine children on the family farm in Deep Gap, North Carolina. While he made his living as a musician, Henderson says Doc always admired craftsmen and respected the hard work that went into keeping the family farm going.
He said, I would have been a carpenter or electrician or something. So that's what I like to do. Wish, you know, if I'd have been able to see, that's what I would probably been doing. I might not have ever played a guitar, you know. I've heard him say that.
But Doc did learn to play guitar and supported his wife Rosalie and their two children as a professional musician. He and his son Merle toured together until Merle died in 1985 in a tractor accident. The now legendary Mountain Folk Festival, Merle Fest, is named in Merle's honor. Doc and all of his ensembles put up more than 50 records over the years. Barry Potts released some of the best on his Sugar Hill label.
Doc stood for everything I wanted Sugar Hill to be about. I mean, I had some goals and some notions, and to me, Doc stood for excellence, he stood for passion, and he stood for integrity. And that's exactly what I wanted the label to be about. And so in a very real, direct way, working with him kept me honest. It kept me committed to those ideals.
Doc Watson won nearly every award you can imagine. There are the 7 Grammys, the North Carolina Award, the State Folk Heritage Award, and in 1997, President Clinton awarded Doc the National Medal of the Arts. Despite all the accolades, those who knew him say Doc was as humble as they came. On stage, he was a commanding presence, but quick to deflect attention. You can hear it in the way he led a band. Doc was always at the center, but knew just when to bring in others or call on one of his sidemen for a solo.
Get it, Chuck.
The music of Doc Watson will endure. There are the recordings and scores of videos documenting the work, but those who knew him, like Barry Ponce and Wayne Henderson, say they'll miss the man.
I love knowing Doc Watson. He was always very kind to me. I mean, the world knows Doc as this superb guitarist, which he is, and that influence will go on through the countless musicians that he's influenced. I mean, you'd be hard-pressed to name a guitarist that wasn't influenced by Doc from a different vantage point, from knowing him personally for 30 years. I would like to add to this larger-than-life musical legacy just the portrait of Doc as a hugely, hugely decent and honorable man.
Doc Watson is survived by his daughter, a brother, 2 grandchildren, 7 great-grandchildren, and Rosalie, his wife of 65 years. The two of them wrote this song together. It's called Your Long Journey.
Oh, the days will be empty, the night so long, without you, my love. And as God calls for you, I'm left alone, but we will meet in heaven above. Oh, my darling, my darling, my heart breaks as you take your long journey.
Doc Watson was scheduled to play one last major concert with friends on June 30th at the North Carolina Museum of Art in Raleigh. Organizers say the concert and day-long symposium about Watson's legacy will go on, with Doc Watson there in spirit. I'm David Brower.
Fond memories I'll keep of the happy days that on earth we've trod. And when I come, we will walk hand in hand as one in heaven in the family of God. Oh, my darling, my darling, my heart breaks as you take your long journey.